This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, Tuesday, February 12th, 2008. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Love in the Age of Skepticism. One of the embarrassing things about Valentine's Day, just one of them, because there's so many embarrassing things about Valentine's Day, but one of them is the language, the words, even the symbols we use to express romantic feeling have become so cliched that they're hard to deploy with a straight face. My heart, my love, flowers and candles and all that. You know, at least, I guess I have a problem with all that. Just ask my wife.
You're a terribly unromantic person.
Does that bum you out?
Yeah.
If I were a poet, I could blame my shortcomings on modernism. Ever since modernism, poets, too, have been self-conscious about overtly romantic language. So you don't hear a lot of talk about hearts and souls in contemporary poetry. But there is at least one very notable exception. Lee Young Lee is a highly sophisticated contemporary romantic poet who uses language that most poets shy away from. You'll hear what I mean in a minute. But first, a little bit of background about Lee Young Lee, whose life story and poetry are deeply connected with his father.
And, of course, my father, he experienced political imprisonment and torture, and he worked with Mao Zedong.
His father, in fact, was Mao's personal physician in the 1950s.
And he was very close to him, and they had a falling out, and Mao tried to kill him.
But Lee's father escaped to Indonesia, and he ran into trouble there, too. When Lee Young Lee was just a few years old, his father was imprisoned for his Christian beliefs.
And my father escaped from prison, and we fled Indonesia to Hong Kong, and from Hong Kong to Malaysia, from Malaysia to Japan, and from Japan to Macau, and then to Singapore, and back to Hong Kong, and finally to America.
Lee was 7 when he arrived here. His experiences as an Asian immigrant in the 1960s were not always pleasant. At the time, the U.S. was at war with an Asian country, Vietnam.
So a lot of the animosity and the hostility and aggression that the war inspired was being perpetrated on us. And so my experience initially of coming to this country was having a lot of violence directed at my physical being.
Many years later, he wrote the poem we're about to hear.
You know, I remember when I wrote this poem, it seemed to me that I was having a hard time loving completely and accepting the love of others. And so I think the poem comes to the conclusion, and I don't know if it's a right conclusion or not, but that somehow the experience of that kind of violent racism, whether it's the Indonesians killing Chinese or North Americans, you know, attacking Asians, but that somehow contributed to my inability to completely express love or experience love that was being given to me. And the first line comes from something my father always said to me when I was young, and I said it once to my son.
Here's Lee Young Lee reading Immigrant Blues.
People have been trying to kill me since I was born. A man tells his son, trying to explain the wisdom of learning a second tongue. It's an old story from the previous century about my father and me. The same old story from yesterday morning about me and my son. It's called Survival Strategies and the Melancholy of Racial Assimilation. It's called Psychological Paradigms of Displaced Persons, called The Child Who'd Rather Play Than Study. Practice until you feel the language inside you, says the man. But what does he know about inside and outside? My father, who was spared nothing, in spite of the languages he used. And me, confused about the flesh and the soul, who asked once into a telephone Am I inside you? You're always inside me, a woman answered. At peace with the body's finitude. At peace with the soul's disregard of space and time. Am I inside you? I asked once, lying between her legs, confused about the body and the heart. If you don't believe you're inside me, you're not, she answered, at peace with the body's greed, at peace with the heart's bewilderment. It's an ancient story from yesterday evening called Patterns of Love in Peoples of Diaspora, called Loss of the Home Place and the Defilement of the Beloved, called I Want to Sing, but I Don't Know Any Songs.
There's not that many poets today that can really pull off using the word soul in a poem.
Yeah.
Do you feel a little nervous using that word?
I do. I feel nervous about using the word love. I feel nervous.
And heart.
Heart. I feel nervous about beloved. I feel nervous about space and time. I feel nervous about the question, am I inside you? I feel nervous about the line lying between her legs. This whole poem makes me nervous because I feel like I've committed every bad move you could possibly make.
Yet it's extremely effective and moving. And part of it seems to be from the sort of clinical sounds that come from those titles that you use, Survival Strategies and the Melancholy of Racial Assimilation. These are in quotes in the poems. Listeners wouldn't be able to hear that. But where do you pull those little quotes from? What is that?
You know what was strange? Was when I wrote this, I was at a Great Mother Conference with Robert Bly.
A Great Mother Conference?
Yes, called
Great Mother. I thought he was the Great Father.
Well, yeah. I think it's now it's called the Great Mother and the New Father. And somehow I was trying to account for myself to Robert Bly, who's a kind of poetic father of mine. You know, I love his work and his thinking. And somehow the poem emerged with all these, I imagined, possible, like if a therapist wrote about, you know, people of diaspora, some of the possible, like, clinical papers you might hear. And I just made up these things.
You know, they're made up. They're made up
phrases. Yeah, they're absolutely made up.
Yeah, it seems like you pulled them out of a textbook.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, for me, maybe intuitively, I thought, well, if I'm going to deal with such a emotionally laden subject, I would have to, some of the language would have to be really clinical and almost out of a psychiatry or psychology textbook or something.
Along with his father, Lee Young Lee's childhood is another frequent subject of his poems.
I suffer from probably an overabundance of childhood.
Probably because of some of the traumas he experienced, like when soldiers came to his house to arrest his father. Also traumatic was the family's time as refugees in all those South Asian countries.
And the whole time my father was reading to us from and telling us stories from the Old Testament, so that the wanderings of the children of Israel somehow and our own wanderings were somehow conflated in my mind.
And they're also conflated in this poem called A Hymn to Childhood, which Lee says is an attempt to recover
some sort of transpersonal memory of my time in heaven or in the bosom of God before I came to earth. But it seems to me that when I try to, like, get back that far into my memory, I'm blocked by these memories of childhood trauma, you know, memories of when the soldiers came to arrest my father, with stories from the Bible.
Here's Lee Young Lee reading A Hymn to Childhood.
Childhood? Which childhood? The one that didn't last? The one in which you learned to be afraid? Of the boarded up well in the backyard and the ladder to the attic? The one presided over by armed men in ill-fitting uniforms, strolling the streets and alleys, while loudspeakers declared a new era, and the house around you grew bigger, the rooms farther apart, with more and more people missing. The photographs whispered to each other from their frames in the hallway. The cooking pots said your name, and you pretended to be dead with your sister in games of rescue and abandonment. You learned to lie still so long, the world seemed a play you viewed from the muffled safety of a wing. Look, in run the servants screaming, the soldiers shouting, turning over the furniture, smashing your mother's china. Don't fall asleep. Each act opens with your mother reading a letter that makes her weep. Each act closes with your father fallen into the hands of Pharaoh. Which childhood? The one that never ends? Oh, you, still a child and slow to grow, still talking to God and thinking the snow falling is the sound of God listening. And winter is the high-ceilinged house where God measures with one eye an ocean wave in octaves and minutes, and counts on many fingers all the ways a child learns to say, me. Which childhood? The one from which you'll never escape? You, so slow to know what you know and don't know, still thinking you hear low song in the wind in the eaves, story in your breathing, grief in the herd dove at evening, and plentitude in the unseen bird tolling at morning. Still slow to tell memory from imagination, heaven from here and now, hell from here and now, death from childhood, and both of them from dreaming.
Lee Young Lee will be reading in Chicago this Wednesday, February 13th, as part of the Poetry Foundation's Poetry Off the Shelf reading series. Check poetryfoundation.org for details. Lee Young Lee's latest book is called Behind My Eyes. It includes an audio CD, and it's published by Norton. Email us your thoughts about Lee Young Lee and this program to podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.